Hello and welcome to episode 54 of the Sprues and Brews podcast, your weekly look into all things Warhammer. My name is Dave and I'm joined once again by Matt.
Hello, hello.
And Jay.
Hello.
So on this week's podcast, we've got some pretty exciting stuff to get through because we have two new battle tomes on the way.
We do, it's really exciting.
So we've seen quite a few previews of these, so we'll be talking about them during the new segment. We've also got our top three. How can we word this?
Older, classic models that are still available now and still stand up today.
Yeah. So,
kind of inspired with the kind of the new Howling Banshees. Just looking back at some of those older kits that still stand out in 2019.
And to finish off the podcast, we will of course be reading out the community top three picks as well. Some really cool ones on there. One or two that nearly made it into my top three.
Ooh, exciting.
As our feature this week, we're going to be looking at our projects, aren't we?
Yeah, we're kind of three quarters into the year now. We've done a fair few projects, so a little look back at what we've done and what we'd like to do in the coming months.
Excellent. So, without further ado, speaking of hobby updates, what have we been doing in the last 7 days? Because we're actually back on track with it being weekly.
We are. That's
so, I introduce it as a weekly podcast, but it's been a bit hit and miss because of holidays. But we are, it has been 7 days since the last recording. Matt, what have you been doing in the hobby?
Well, over the last 7 days, I have been building lots of Space Marines. I've been bitten by the Space Marine bug now. I've been building the Eliminators. They're very cool.
Yeah, they're very good as well. They are awesome. They like shooting bits out of my knights.
And I've been building some of the new Dreadnoughts. Not even Dreadnoughts, are they? The Tactical Warsuits.
Are these like the Matrix-style apes?
Yeah, they're so cool. And then pitted them in battle against Dave's Adeptus Mechanicus.
Yes, so I wanted to try out a two-knight list. You obviously wanted to try them for the first time.
Yeah.
And we had a really good game.
It was really close. I think I kind of threw it away when I kind of got excited and threw my lieutenant into an objective in front of a knight.
Yes, that might have been a bit of a
technical blunder.
I think you wanted to get a point that turn, but he was never going to survive on his own.
Well, I thought if I put enough pressure on the knights and distracted them, but no, they stomped him.
Did I kill him by shooting, or was it in combat?
You had to charge him.
No, I did have to charge him, didn't I? Yeah, and then I just went all out on feet and just stomped him to death.
Yeah, the rest of your army was quite sensible and retreated away from all the snipers.
That wasn't my plan. My plan, because I had quite a few models, was to set on that certain objective, keep you off it, castle upon it.
Ah.
But
that may not have gone to plan if you'd have done that.
No, well, I realised that in turn one when you blew away the first wave of my army. Like, all my troops just disintegrated. So suddenly Cole's there, 1 minute, he's got a shield in front of him of all these rangers, vanguard, and everything. Next thing, all that stands between him and your front line is me escalation character.
Yeah.
So he's like, hold on a minute, lads. This plan's not going to work. Fall back.
For quite a low model count army, it's got a lot of firepower.
Did you have leading it?
I had the Phobos captain leading it.
Okay, yep.
He was pretty tasty with his kind of...
You get the Phobos warlord traits available too in the Phobos armor, don't you?
Yeah, and there was some shenanigans with my librarian, who was letting people move again in the psychic phase.
When he cast it,
he didn't cast it very often.
Just like Eldar.
Yeah, but the snipers were very good. Maybe I should have castled them. If I'd have known I was going first, I think that deployment would have worked better. Knowing that I was going second, I should have just castled everyone around the captain and got rerolls.
Well, it was the first time I'd used a Helverin, and he absolutely butchered your warsuit in turn one.
Oh, he did, yeah.
I was... Dan, our local store manager, he's been banging on at me, saying, Dave, you need Helverins in your list. When we went to that tournament and I lost, he said, Dave, it's because you didn't take Helverins. So I proxied in a Helverin, and they're very good.
They are very good. I need to eliminate them.
There's some good Forge World Helverin.
Well, there are, yeah. There's some really nice weapons, some kind of the 30k style weapons on them. Which Vulcan really nice.
Stuff
yeah.
on. And the Claw.
You saw the danger of some of the new stratagems available to the Space Marines as well.
Oh, flipping heck.
Enhanced Physiology is an awesome strat.
This, with the first time you popped this, I was like, I'm sorry. What? Can you just say that again? It basically
for two command points, any of your infantry units can only be wounded on a 4+.
Oh wow.
So las cannons, thermal cannons.
I just picked Endless Fury, the relic Daka Daka on my knight, at a unit of his eliminators. So what's that? Strength 6 or 7. It would have been freeze, I think, still.
Yeah.
But I know it only drops by one, but it made a massive difference. The amount of freeze I rolled, which in any normal circumstance would have been a wound, wasn't. And in the end, my 14-shot Gatling gun killed one eliminator.
Well, I used it later in the game when you charged me, and I was like, well, you're wounding me on 2, so I'll spend 2 command points, and you're wounding me on 4s now.
Yeah,
that's mental. They're almost as tough as custodies, aren't they, all these strats?
Yeah.
So, you know, they were quite good, and I think with a practice game, I can make some changes with deployment and tactics, and yeah, I think it's a pretty solid list.
Oh, bring on Christmas Warhammer World!
I'd say what was really funny is Matt very nearly lost it a turn earlier, because I blew up his executioner tank, and just in that turn, he'd moved his chaplain and his lieutenant, who had the intel points on them. And he sat on the next to the exterminator, blows up on a 6.
Yeah.
And he took both of those characters down to 1 wound. Yeah. If they'd have both died, well, that was game over.
It was brown trousers time then.
And then they ran away. Yeah. They ran to the furthest corner of the board.
They've done their job providing re-rolls and legged it.
So
with that as well, I've painted up a Tester Iron Raven as well. I'm quite happy with him.
He looks very cool. He's available to see on Twitter, but I will include his picture on sprewsandbrews.com in the podcast post as well.
What basing style are you going for there, Matt? A snow base might look quite
good. Snow base might be good. I'm undecided. I might do something with Mordant Earth.
Okay.
So have a cracked alien-looking planet maybe underneath. I don't know yet. Yeah. I'll have a play around.
Yeah,
I might go for traditional sand and tufts. I think something different would be good for him.
What about your vehicles?
The vehicles are going to follow the same scheme as... I can't remember the guy's name. I should have written this down. But the guy who designed the Iron Ravens...
Oh, he's already got a scheme.
There's a post on Warhammer Community with a full scheme of all his vehicles. Oh, wow, okay. So basically, I'm lifting that.
Right. Is it like metallic silver then?
Yeah, metallic silver with some blue features and red stripe down the entire tank.
It's got a big red stripe, hasn't it?
That's cool. I suppose you can sort of break up the silver panels with a bit of battle damage and weathering or something like that, yeah.
So it should be pretty cool. But yeah, really happy with that. And he didn't take long, about half an hour to do him.
Yeah, well, the lead belcher and whatnot, Ironbreaker, it's quite an easy paint to use, isn't it? But it's gone on very smooth. It looks quite good. They might actually be a very good army to paint up with an air gun, actually.
Yeah.
An air gun?
And not airbrush. An air gun, an airbrush. Don't use an air gun on him.
No, definitely don't do that.
But yeah, so quite happy with that. And then, yeah, I've done a bit more work on the Warcry gangs. I'm going to be honest, I don't think I'll be taking them to Warhammer TV now because of a book coming out in the next week or so.
Yeah, well, you're taking Oryx instead.
Cool. Excellent. Jay, what have you been up to in the hobby for the past week?
So, I haven't actually done any painting. I did a little bit more on St. Celestine, but I've got a bit more work to do. I've got to finish her base. I've not started on her 2 bodyguards. I have been doing some online... window shopping for bits and pieces to build into an Inquisitor's retinue ready, so I'm hoping to get them done in the next couple of weeks. But I have finished the first Siege of Terror book, so I got to the end of that one now. Absolutely amazing. Went straight onto Audible to get the next one. Not there.
Well, it's Black Library Live in a couple of weeks, so I think they'll release the paperback of book 2 and probably the limited edition of book 3.
Right, yeah, cool. So I'm waiting for the audio version of book 2 because I am desperate to listen to that now after how book 1 finished. So in the meantime, I picked up... I don't know if you've read this one, Dave. Dark Imperium 2?
Not yet.
Right, okay.
Not
so
yet.
I started...
Plague War.
Yeah.
No, I've only read the first one.
Right, so I'm on Dark Imperium 2 now. Unfortunately, this is having the effect on me that I sort of suspected it would, that I want to get more paint on my Ultramarines, because I love Ultramarines in these books. Very good. So it's good. It's actually the same author, Guy Haley. Yeah, who did the first Siege of Terror. He actually wrote the Dark Imperium series. So
it's really good. I've been meaning to pick up the second one, because I did really enjoy
the first one as well.
It was really cool. It feels like ages ago since I read that.
Yeah, well, there's
I meant to bring that for you, actually, Matt.
Yes.
I completely forgot.
There is some interesting things about the Emperor and things. I don't want to spoil anything for people who've not read the book, but it's interesting reading sort of the the tail end of the Horus Heresy books, and then jumping right the way to the tail end of the 41st Millennium Dark Imperium, and to see some of the plot threads like Lorgar or Eliot, the Word Bearers, the Emperor's plan, all sort of tying back into what Gilliman's doing.
They've done very well with the universe building between the two recently, haven't they?
Yeah,
and I think there'll be a lot of payoff in the Psychic Awakening series.
Hey, something just to put out there. Maybe I'm missing quite a few books, but do we feel they're a little slow on picking up new stories this side of the Rift? You know, since the turn of 8th edition.
They did the Beast Arises series, which was like a 30k, sort of 35k series.
Post-Heresy, isn't it?
The Dark Imperium books they've got. Also, there was the Watchers of the Throne, which was set sort of during the Rift, just after the Rift. They haven't really done much, I don't think, about the Indomitus Crusade, have they?
No, this is what I'm getting at. So since the Rift has opened, I don't think we've seen many novels set during this time.
Again, keep an eye out on Black Library, because I think they're probably waiting for Psychic Awakening. It's going to be the next lore kind of development, and then maybe a range of books alongside that.
Yeah, I see another 50, 60 books.
I do want to pick up the new Call book, because that is set in the current time.
Okay.
In Call, obviously, AdMech. Love a bit of AdMech. And it also features Space Marines as well, because they go to a planet, what are they called? Not Spears of the Emperor.
Scythes of the Emperor.
Scythes of the Emperor.
Ultra-Marine successor chapter. Yeah,
so I do want to pick that up and read that.
Interesting, the Scythes of the Emperor, they were founded, there was a company, I think, it was in one of the, do you know where the Imperium Secundus, where Gilliman had his Second Imperium when he thought, you know, Terror had gone, fallen and all that sort of stuff. So there was some Ultramarines and some Shattered Legions that got back there. And they had that beacon, the light thing, you know, the machine they used to communicate along with some Xenos tech.
Is that what attracted the Tyranids?
Yeah, attracted the Tyranids, yeah. Well, when the... I think it was that. Oh, it could have been when they were on Calf. I can't remember now. It might have been Calf. But the Alpha Legion attack, I believe it's the Alpha Legion, or Word Bearers... And there's just a company of Ultramarines sort of defending this one area, and they become the Scythes of the Emperor.
Ah, that's
the founding of it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Fair enough. My hobby, there's not really an awful lot to update for me this week. It's been quite a funny busy week, as we all sometimes have. I have put a bit more paint on some Vanguard and some Rangers. Hoping to have another unit, basically filling in units with different special weapons and starting our Vanguard as a backup, because I'm still not 100% certain what I'm going to afford and take for Christmas when we go to Warhammer World, which I'm sure we'll talk about in the future today. So I've kind of been doing that, so I've not really been posting any hobby updates online. I've been fighting an urge. As you said, Jay, you know, reading the second Dark Imperium book in Fancy and Painting Ultramarines. This all started when the latest White Dwarf came out.
Oh.
And I started reading all the Dark Angel stuff. There's a really good Dark Angel story in the latest White Dwarf.
Yeah.
And then it talks a lot about the lore as well. Of
how they fell to chaos.
No, how things have been since the Rift. Kind of one of the things that made me think, actually, there's not much... There's not, outside of codexes, there's not really much from Black Library in regards to this. It's some very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Really interesting stuff about what's been going on with the Dark Angels. Lufa, who's been on the rock, practically dead, isn't he? For all this time.
He was the Lion's mentor, wasn't he?
He was the one that betrayed them.
Yeah, but he was like the Lion's best friend or closest.
He was part of the Inner Sanctum, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, he's disappeared. He's gone.
He sounds like a filthy traitor then, doesn't he?
He's gone. Azrael basically is calling all, like, the Unforgiven back to basically have a big meeting when he hears that Gulliman... Sorry. If you've not read The Latest White Dwarf, you might want to read The Latest White Dwarf, otherwise I'm completely butchering this story for you. But he hears that Gulliman's on his way, and Azrael's actually like, I might have to fight Gulliman.
Ooh.
I might have to, like... Anyway, it turns out Gulliman's just bringing him some Primaris.
So he was thinking about attacking Gilliman.
Have you got the latest White Dwarf?
I have, but it's not in this room.
Is it not in this room?
But doesn't that instantly, if he was thinking about attacking the Lord Regent of the Imperium, that de facto makes him a traitor, yeah? I should have really bought my copy of White Dwarf.
That's a bit of a guilty conscience, isn't it?
Yeah.
We might come back to this in the new segment, because actually I think I've got it in my bag. So I'm going to reread just that little, those few lines, but...
anything you say may be held in...
I do think that Dave is implying that the Dark Angels are filthy traitors.
But it has, I mean, long time listening to the podcast, I've known that I've flirted with Dark Angels traitors, but I've never actually built an army of them. And I have some Primaris Marines built as Dark Angels.
The Dark Angels have a really nice colour scheme. That deep green is a very nice scheme.
And... Yeah. I've seen some really good videos with contrast paints as well.
Okay.
Well, there's a Dark Angels green contrast.
There is a Dark Angels green.
Plus, you've got the hooded helms to add a little bit of different. You've got the Primaris Lieutenant with the robes on.
Yeah, he's cool.
And then when the Dark Angels get their book, you're going to see one of the Dark Angels characters become Primaris.
I've also watched a Ravenwing battle report on Tabletop Tactics recently, which was really cool.
I'd love to do a Ravenwing army.
A very plasma heavy Ravenwing bikes. The dark, not the Dark Knights.
Have you got time to get one painted up for Christmas?
Properly? Oh, no, no.
Not to do justice, have you?
This wouldn't be... No, my Christmas army would be Adeptus Mechanicus.
I think a Terminator heavy army would be very nice as well. But,
we're using those new grab bag Terminators as well. Series 3 of Heroes?
The Heroes, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Series 2, sorry.
Yeah. Well, they've got the really cool...
Death Knights.
Death Knights.
No, only Death Knights.
Yeah, the robed...
Yeah,
with a big shield, and then you've got Deathwing Knights, who are cool. I'm not sure if that's a go. I might pick up a Dark Angels contrast paint at the weekend and just scratch that itch.
He does look good. There's a Dark Angels there. I see him there.
Yeah, he's very cool.
Awesome.
So, other than that, I don't think I've done much in the hobby. I did do quite a large post yesterday, which we'll talk about in the news. Which is very hobby related, but that's about it, I think.
Awesome.
So quiet week, and I think that wraps up our introduction to the podcast. So as I mentioned, we have got our top three later on and our community top three picks, as well as our upcoming projects as our feature. But coming up next, we have the news. This week's news cometh. Oh, before actually we start, because I did mention it in the last segment, I don't have my copy of White Dwarf for me. So we'll take what I've just said as that maybe I got that slightly wrong. Because when you say it out loud, it does sound like heresy. So I will we'll revisit that on the next podcast when I've got the copy of White Dwarf.
Okay.
So, but I bet everybody's
that
racing.
That sounds
their
a lot like
backtracking
to me. That does.
That sounds like a Dark Angel.
I want to be called away by the Inner Circle after this. Go, you call yourself a fledgling Dark Angel? Well, I don't actually. Dave's digressing. Let's press on with
that
the news.
That could be a
map.
New section for the podcast.
Dave
digresses.
We don't know where this is going to finish up. The starting subject. Sorry, Matt. News.
So there's some news. So, wow. This is very exciting news. We've got two new battle terms on the way this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So up for pre-order on Saturday is Battletome Cities of Sigmar. This unites pretty much the rest of the Order factions who haven't got books. So all the old stuff, all the Free Guild, all the Elves, all of the Dwarden. The ones with surviving kits, that
I was going to say, post-cull.
Post-cull.
Yeah.
Every other kit is in this book. It has got, about 20 battle line options, including Hydras and Charybdises and Steam Tanks and... all sorts of stuff. Iron Drakes.
You're going to be able to build so many different army lists out of this book.
Yeah.
Now, you can base, while you're building your army, you base it around one of the three cities.
Mm-hmm.
Each of those cities are different benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Your battle line is changed by who your commander is.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you're free to pick and choose between all of them. So you're not restricted by picking a city. You get benefits, and you might be options that are better for that city.
Mm.
But it doesn't mean that you can't do a super shooty, what are they called? The Greywater Fastness and stick some elves in there because you think elves are cool.
Mm.
You could go for your sneaky Anvil Guard, piratey elf themed force, but throw a load of cannons in there.
Yeah.
In fact, that'd probably work.
Yeah.
I think this book appeals to. Like your gamers who want to build powerful army lists, they want to use some of the older kits and create theme lists, but also I think this book has got a bigger draw than most army books because of all the new background that's going to be in there.
Yeah.
The mortals of the mortal realms are going to be fleshed out in this book. So I think even if you aren't necessarily a Free Cities player, you still want to find out what's happening just to the regular people in the realms.
Well, it's a meteor battleship and includes, I think, 12 short stories from Josh Reynolds.
Right, okay.
I think we'll see some hints at future mortals in the mortal realms.
I think so.
When they eventually get... Because it's going to be a big release when they properly look at...
A new order faction
that are humans. I think this will be a very exciting book. I think this is... The next Age of Sigmar doubles we go to, I think you could see a lot of themed books.
Oh, this is a converter's dream as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's looking really good. So, £25, the battle tome is. Obviously, we'll have some more details when we get our hands on it in a week and a bit's time, I guess.
There have been quite a few rules previews for some of the cities. Some of them I've managed to get on Sprues and Brews this week, because I don't think they've previewed all of them on Warhammer Community.
No, they haven't.
So I've been putting them on Sprues and Brews.
There's some really cool stuff, though.
Yeah. I mean, you're toying with a steam tank army, Matt. Based on what you've seen so far... Are any of the cities...
The Greywater Fastness have extended range on all their weapons, which is pretty cool, and they can take an extra artillery piece.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if there's a steam tank specific... I mean, I'd have thought that is the city that would be steam tank heavy.
Yeah.
And I think it'll probably be... Again, we don't know, but I imagine there will be a steam tank HQ option that unlocks the steam tanks.
Well, steam tanks are currently Einweld Arsenal, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's your cannons, your human artillery, your dwarf artillery, gyrocopters on the steam tanks.
Which seems very Greywater Fastness from what we've seen so far. So.
I'm quite excited, actually, to be able to include things like cannons and gyrocopters.
Well, the cannon kit's no longer available, so that won't be in there. But not the organ grinder, the...
Organ gun.
The human one with nine barrels. Hellblaster, yeah.
So the rocket launcher. The Dwarden organ gun has gone. Organ cannon's gone.
Yeah, I think it has.
Oh.
Don't quote me on that, though, but a lot of the old artillery kits have gone. The only surviving human one is the one with lots of barrels. Hellblaster, I think it's called.
And the Hellstorm rocket battery. Oh, that's a shame if the dwarf cannons have gone then. Never mind, that changes things a bit for me. That will just be a load of gyrocopters and gyro bombers.
You could always proxy it as a human proxy one.
The human. I suppose, yeah. Okay.
I mean, the one that's tempted me, because obviously I've got quite a lot... Well, not quite a large, slash of Vindicator army, but I've got quite... Because one thing we haven't mentioned is you can chuck Stormcast Eternals into these...
Specific cities allow you to have people in your army, so I think Heldenhammer allows you to take Stormcast. The other cities may allow Stormcast as base.
I think all of them allow Stormcast as base.
There's one that allows Caradrons, one that allows Sylvaneth.
Living City for Sylvaneth, yeah.
And is it... I think it's Tempest Eye is the Caradron Overlords.
It's like a trading port.
Yeah, yeah. Which is the... I think that's the one... No, it's not. It's... the one I'm tempted by is Tempest Eye, which could be the one that has the Caradrons. They add an extra 3-inch wall you move characteristic of friendly Tempest Eye units until the end of the first battle round. In addition, you add 1 to save units for attacks that target friendly Tempest Eye units in the first battle round. But their scheme is very similar to my Slash.
It is, yeah.
So I might be tempted in the future, mind you, to add some Cities of Sigmar to our Stormcast.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Going forward to add some stuff.
So obviously we'll look at this properly when we've got the books in our hands, but exciting. So £25, that's got some War Scrolls coming out alongside it for £20.
That'll be a thick block of cards.
Eternal Guard have been re-released, £25 of round bases. I don't know if they were previously just on squares.
I can't remember now. They're the Wood Elves, aren't they?
Yeah.
Wanderers, yeah. I can't remember now.
There is a Stark Collecting Greywater Fastness, which contains a Gyro Bomber, 10 Iron Breakers that can also be built as Iron Drakes, a Warden King and a Cogsmith, which is pretty cool.
That's a really cool box.
Really good, yeah. And a Stark Collecting Anvil Guard, which is ace bargain, 10 Corsairs, a Scourge and a Chariot, a Charybdis and a Fleetmaster. So two boxes of that and you've got an army there for Anvil Guard.
Yeah.
And it's worth noting that, again, all these units can be used in any city. There might be some that are suited in cities more than others, but you're not restricted to what you take.
No.
You can take anything out of this book in any army.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's really
cool. But that's not the only book coming out. We've also got Uruk War Clans.
Yeah.
Now, this is your cup of tea, Dave.
This is my cup of tea. If you head on spruceandbrews.com, it might be a couple of days ago by the time this podcast hits the interwebs, but I've done quite a large post about what we've seen and heard so far about the Uruk War Clans. Now, I did Iron Jaws as part of our Contrast Challenge, and I kind of swung back onto Stormcast, didn't I?
Yeah.
I was kind of in the back of my mind waiting for new Iron Jaws books. The Iron Jaws book's quite old, and the rules are here, there, and everywhere.
You had the General's Handbook, didn't you?
Yeah. So this brings it all up to speed with AOS 2.0, much like the Cities of Sigmar. And there is some really cool stuff in here. Yeah. Like, there's some really cool changes. And some of the stuff that they changed in General's Handbook has stayed. So, for example, Smashing and Bashing, Mighty Destroyers, that's all staying. The Uruk War Clans is interesting in that you'll be able to build an army in three different ways because it combines the Bone Splitters and the Iron Jaws into one book. So if you're strictly Iron Jaws, you can build an Iron Jaws Allegiance army that unlocks all your Iron Jaws Allegiance abilities. Alternatively, if you're a Bone Splitters fan, you can build a Bone Splitters army which unlocks loads of Bone Splitters stuff, of which I think they've gone through quite a big change. Now, I don't know a lot about the Bone Splitters, so I can't really judge how much of theirs has changed. Iron Jaws hasn't changed a massive amount, but what is really interesting is the big war.
This looks so good.
This is Bone Splitters and Iron Jaws slammed together. Yes, you lose your Bone Splitters allegiance abilities. Yes, you lose your Iron Jaws allegiance abilities, but it looks like you're going to gain some really cool stuff. The one that they've previewed, like the big...
The main gimmick
of the army is that during the course of the game, you build up wire points. These are accumulative, so as you build them up, you're getting like plus one to hit, plus one to wound. You're probably getting extra attacks, and you can keep building these up. But then during the course of the battle, you can spend them to unlock maybe a command ability which gives you extra attacks for all of your orcs,
yeah,
no matter where they are in the battlefield. And then once you've spent that, you roll the dice, and you could have potentially spent all those points, half of those points, or like one or two of those points.
None of the points. If you roll a one, you lose everything.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you've got an awesome ability. 2 to 5, you half your points. On a 6, you don't lose anything.
Wow.
So you've still got all those bonuses to hit and stuff.
And I quite like that. It's like the corn blood tithe of the gambling mechanic. How far do you push it?
But with not much downside.
No, well, you could lose all your points and you get all those cumulative buffs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Ah, right. Yes, I see.
But
yeah,
that's very orcish, isn't it?
It is. It's a bit like the old Animosity when you roll a one. Yeah, sort of like...
kind of mixed with the tally that Epidemius had.
Yes.
But you can spend those to potentially get a better one, but you might lose all the ones you've already got.
Yeah, very cool.
I think this is really cool. And this really pushes you to take stuff like War Chanters, Prophets from the Bone Splitters, because they're like you're generating wire points. I can't remember off the top of my head how you do it. I think you roll a d6 or something per, and if you do something in combat, it generates wire points.
I remember in the Warhammer community article, it said basically play like an orc and you need to generate these points.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting battle tome, then, isn't it? Really, because I think it's a bit like the Gloom Spikes, where you've got Moonclan Grots, Trogoths, and Squigs, and then you can do individual lists with a Squig, War Boss, and General and whatnot. Or you can do a combined list. But this is actually... Iron Jaws already have a book, don't they? And Bone Splitters have a book.
Yeah.
So they're basically... If you had... Those books are disappearing. It's almost like a brand new faction now, isn't it? So that's interesting.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's nothing stopping you. If you really like the Iron Jaws allegiance abilities, or vice versa, you can still take the other race as an ally. So you've still got a bit of the mixed orcs in there.
Yeah.
But if you really want to mix it up...
I think realistically, if you do do that, you just go for the...
Wah.
The wah.
Yeah. Because imagine, you know, a couple of big Maw Crushers and then just a ton of Bone Splitter orcs.
Yeah.
Well, you'd convert some Maw Crushers, have some Bone Splitters on there and stuff like that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So, needless to say, I am probably going to be all in on Iron Jaws soon.
You know, this really excites me. I think going forward, future battle team is going to be like this. I think ogres are clearly going to be the same with the Beast Claw and stuff built in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really good way of being able to theme your army. And like you said, with the Cities of Sigmar, you've got some awesome gaming abilities, but the fact that you can use this massive range of models in your army, because traditionally, you've been quite restricted with army choice in Sigmar.
Yeah, because a lot of it depends on what kind of general you take. That's the battle line you unlock.
Mm.
And then before you know it, you've got no points left to spend on other units, so yeah.
So it gives you a bit more freedom to do what you like, which is cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, they had a battle report with the new Iron Jaws stuff the other day. I'm not going to go through all the changes. I'm just going to pick out one or two. Stuff like the War Chanter. It's been long rumoured that he would get prayers or the equivalent to, because we're seeing that a lot in Age of Sigmar. Yeah. Khorne have got prayers. Fire Slayers have got prayers. You had your War Chanter, but all he could really do is his ability during the turn to make a unit plus one to hit. That's changed now to plus one damage. But he's now got a chart of war beats.
Nice.
Which on a 4+ do different things. The only one I think we know of so far is he can pick a unit on a 4+, you've rolled 3d6 for their charge. So in the battle report that was on Warhammer TV with Ben Bailey, he picked his Maw Crusher, did his war drum, went off. Suddenly his Maw Crusher's charging 15 inches.
That's scary.
You know, that's brilliant.
Does it still have the restriction you can only charge something within 12 inches?
No, it must override that otherwise.
Well, you know, you could do a further charge and charge behind something and charge a different target.
Some rules do allow you to pick a target within over 12 inches, but they explicitly say that one.
I imagine you can still pick a target within... Well, you don't have to pick a target. You have to be within 12 inches, but then you roll 15, you can charge something further away.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Brutes have dropped in points, but Maw Crushers and Mega Bosses and War Chances, of course, now that they've got prayers, have all gone up in points. Hard Boys are interesting. So Hard Boys at the moment, you can build them in three ways. You can give them two-handed weapons, you can give them two single weapons, or you can give them a single weapon and a shield. To make matters easier, they've decided instead of them all having different weapon profiles, they're all just going to have the same weapon profile. So no matter how they're equipped, they're going to be hit on freeze instead of force, which is cool. Wounded on freeze, minus one rend, one damage.
I prefer that. It gets a bit messy with all the different weapon profiles on your infantry.
They used to have a rule in the old edition, Fantasy, where they accounted as being equipped with two-handed weapons.
They could pick whatever was...
Yeah, whatever they wanted.
So it's more akin to that, isn't it?
Yeah. Onto the teeth.
I don't know what it means for people who've got shields on their Hard Boys. I assume they've still got a shield rule. It might make me feel like I should have built my Hard Boys with shields, if it doesn't matter what weapon I gave them.
Yeah, I mean, they might be built into the profile, though, so you don't get a bonus for giving your model a shield, it's just in the profile.
Potentially.
We'll find out soon.
I'll leave it at that. If you are interested in reading more about what we know so far about the Orcs, that, like I say, there is quite a large piece on sprucesandbrews.com with some help from Jay Luke, who is a popular regular poster on Facebook Orc groups. He kindly provided me with a ton of information he got from the Warhammer TV stream of all this being discussed. So
awesome.
a big thank you to him for a lot of the info I've been able to provide.
Cool. So as we say, once we've got the books, we'll do probably some separate reviews of those as well.
Yeah.
Any Uruk dice?
No dice. No scenery, no dice for either of these factions.
And no models, which has caused rumblings, shall we say.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a big range of models for both these armies.
There is. I still don't have an army in Age of Sigmar that has a terrain feature. So I kind of hoped that Iron Jaws would get one, or some Endless Spells.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is strange. Endless Spells.
Speaking of Endless Spells, Cities of Sigmar, Endless Spells always count as being cast in the realm that they come from. So you will always get the enhanced ability of the spells.
Yeah, that's cool.
So if you throw down a spell portal, you can fling through your spells at extended range. Your spells will then move at the enhanced effect, meaning that there's a good chance your opponent won't be able to get it back through the portal the following turn.
Well, I guess because they want you to theme it around a city, you could be picking endless spells that you could paint and base in that city's theme.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, your city is from this realm.
I think magic heavy Sigmar armies is going to be very good.
What wizards have... of the three cities got available to them? They've got the Empire Wizards, haven't they?
Yep, they've got...
The High Elf Mages, the Mage Machines, you know, the Luminarch and whatnot. That's it, isn't it?
I think the...
Dark Elf Sorceress.
Dark Elf Sorceress is still there,
The...
Griffin with a wizard on top as well.
Griffin with a wizard and the Warlocks. Dark Elf
Warlocks, they're casters.
So there's a lot of casters there, isn't it? I wonder if Rune Priest will get anything.
That'd be cool. Well, prayers, I guess.
Prayers, yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, so we'll have more details when that's all out. But, yeah, very exciting releases there. But that's not everything, guys. For Sigmar, we have got the Age of Sigmar gaming book.
This has come from absolutely nowhere.
Well, I'm glad that it's come out. So, if you're playing the game of Age of Sigmar, you need the rule book. You're going to need the General's Handbook. You're going to need your realm abilities from Malign Sorcery.
Yeah.
Or your artifacts from Malign Sorcery.
Yeah.
That's a lot of different books. This is all spread across now.
And don't forget you'll need your battle turn as well.
Battle turn, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this book basically takes all those bits, the main rules, the realm list, the realm spells, the artifacts, all FAQ changes built into them for a kind of up-to-date gaming book with all the current rules in.
This is all
the battle plans as well that we've had so far.
That's amazing.
I never picked up Malign Sorcery because I've never really had many endless spells. So this is great for me because this has got all that stuff that I don't have in writing anywhere, really.
Yeah.
And this is up for pre-order on Saturday?
It's on Saturday, yeah. £25. It's the same price as a battle tome. I think it's £25.
Right.
And yeah, pretty much it'll replace my big, heavy, hardback book and all the other various books I take to tournaments.
It's got all the core rules in as well.
All the core rules as well, yeah.
So you literally got one book. You don't need to copy your General's Handbook.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's all the battle plans are in there, all the relics are in there, all the Grand Alliance traits and stuff are in there.
Mm.
So if you wanted to play some of the, like, open play and, you know, all the funky stuff that's in the General's Handbook, you'd need it. But for just playing the game, you'll just need this book plus your battle tome,
yeah.
Which is good.
Excellent.
Cool.
Similarly, for 40k, we're getting a mini A5 version of the rulebook as well. Again, up to date with all FAQ changes. Paperback version, I think.
Yeah.
Again, nice, easy, light thing you can bring along to your games.
But you still need your copy of chapter approved for this one.
Probably.
Yeah, this is just like your core rules.
Yeah, just run it down.
Yeah. Really, that should have been out on day one because everybody loved it in 7th edition when you got the mini rulebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if you've been slightly cynical, you'd think like Games Workshop would rather to buy the expensive hardback version and then later on buy the nice little transportable version.
Yeah.
But it's still a really good thing, and I'm glad, certainly for Sigmar, I'm glad they've done it. 40k isn't so much of an issue, because you haven't really got the multiple books thing going on.
No, you don't, no.
No, you've just got core rules, chapter approved, and your codex.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. Middle-earth have got some releases as well this week.
Yeah.
So we have got the King of the Dead and Heralds coming out.
So These projects are building up, aren't they?
So £25, which is a bargain. And yeah, plastic kit containing three models for all your heroes for your Army of the Dead.
The Army of the Dead, have they been plastic before? Were they metal?
The heroes have been metal, but they're the plastic infantry. Right, so yeah. And they're fairly good value. You get a lot of them in a box. So
yeah.
Get this, couple of boxes of Army of the Dead, and you've got an army for Middle Earth.
Yeah,
that'd be a really good day.
It would be really good, Matt. It's almost like this is what I think I'm going to do because there was so much to paint. Man, an army, a dead army, would be quick to put together.
Yeah.
We just use the contrast paints.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hexray Flame, stuff like that.
Hexray Flame. So I think this will be my good army with the Free Hunters.
Yeah. That'd be cool. There's also some Daniks that go with them, that glow in the dark.
For those games when you're playing in the dark.
Exactly.
Or when you drop a dice underneath the table.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So yeah, that's really cool. They're also releasing profile cards. They will be doing these for all of the factions. This initial wave is the Fallen Realms, Mordor, and the Defenders of Pelennor, which is cool. So I'm going to pick up the Pelennor one for my Rohan guys.
Basically, War Scroll cards, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And then there's going to be a deck of magical powers as well. And I like all this kind of game and aid stuff, so you have to flick through books.
Yeah.
It's really handy.
Just keep on the side of the table.
There's also a few old models coming back into the range that they tend to do whenever they have a Middle-earth release. I forgot to write these down, I'm afraid, but yeah, a few old kits that you haven't been able to get for a while will be coming back, which is cool. For 40k, Jane's R, that's it. News that we've had this week, we have got Jane's R. She is being revealed. We had kind of hints that she'd be coming the previous week.
Yeah, rises. Is she up for pre-order on Saturday?
No, she's not. She's
Yeah, calm down, Jay, calm down. She's not up for pre-order.
She'll be out, I imagine, in a few weeks' time. But she's been unveiled and really nice model.
Some real sort of snippets have been released. Does she get a cool ability where she can gets a number of attacks equal to the models within 2 inches?
That is right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You throw her a big unit or something, and she's got a lot of attacks.
Big unit of orcs. I mean, the Phoenix Lord stat lines are pretty impressive as well. So yeah. You know, you could afford to send her in against units like that. What I found interesting, and of course, we haven't seen who are opponent is yet, who she's dueling, but one of the rumour engines recently has been an Eldari base with what looked like Harlequin runes on them.
Yeah.
And it's that I've not seen that base on any of the revealed Psychic Awakening models.
But I do wonder if it's the person that she's fighting, who I believe is the Drakari character. What's his name?
Drazar. Yeah, well, yeah, and potentially it might be him. Although the base that Jane Zarr is sort of leaping off of is in a different style than the Harlequin-looking base we saw. Okay. And if you compare Abaddon and the Gilliman models, the bases they're on are similar. So I'm expecting Drazar would be on a similar piece of scenery that Jane Zarr's leaping off, considering they're dueling each other. So does that mean there's a Harlequin character on the way as well?
Well, it'd be interesting if each Elven faction got a new kit in this release.
Yeah, and I mean, in the Dark Eldar range, there are a couple of characters who need models. So Drazar is one of them, and I think it's pretty safe it's going to be Drazar who she's going to be fighting. Azrael Vect is another character who needs a model. I don't even think he has rules in the current Dark Eldar.
No, I don't think he does.
And then on the Eldari side, the Craftworld Eldar, the only models they really need are a new avatar, although Forgeworld does do an avatar, and the Phoenix Lords. The rest of the kits are okay. The character kits, sorry, yeah. There's quite a few units needed. On the Harlequin side, they've had a new range, so they've got a new range, but they are missing a few options. And in 7th edition, there was no HQ option for the Harlequins. You just took a troop with a troop master. In 8th edition, they took the troop master, who was just basically a suit. He's just a sergeant, you know, a Space Marine sergeant equivalent model. They moved him out of your troop unit. It's a bit confusing because you've got troops that are troop, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And turned him into an HQ option. But there's no model for him. So you buy a troop box, you make your 5 troop members, and the old troop master, he just becomes your troop leader, your troop master for your HQ. So I'm thinking there's scope, you know, there's room potential there to create a great Harlequin model or a troop master model.
Back in the day, wasn't there other units as well, like a mime?
Mimes, yeah. You also had like Harlequin Wraithlords and things you like did, that, yeah. I think. So, but I can see, you know, a Phoenix Lord, Drazar, a great Harlequin.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. That'd be really cool.
I hope so.
So yeah, well, hopefully next week we see another reveal, which is probably going to be the Drakari character.
Yeah, well, we've seen the Banshees, we've seen Jane Zarr, we've seen an Incubi Clavix. Yeah, so we Drazar. It's going to be Drazar.
It is. Well, we'll quote that this time next week. Yeah. We'll see if we're wrong, but yeah, that's what the money's on. And then yeah, the last bit of news: Bandai have shown off their Primaris Space Marine action figure. This is a cool thing, isn't it?
We saw this in the unpainted, didn't we? Yeah. Like a build of it. Yeah, I'll get one of these.
No, I believe that I think it's probably going to be a similar price range to their Star Wars Black Label line, which are like super premium kind of action figures, aren't they? So probably with a larger price tag.
I'm not so fussed.
No?
No, I can't really get excited about an action figure for Warhammer.
Toy soldiers.
You're lying.
I'm being genuinely serious. I'm not really.
You
that...
could use it as a Titan in your games.
Did you see the thing on the Primaris Lieutenant Twitter about him not being a Primaris Lieutenant? He's just a normal intercessor.
I did see the Primaris Twitter guy say he liked Jane Zarr though, because she's got the red hair with the white stripe down it.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So that's quite a busy news week, really.
So when do you think we'll see those models out then?
So they've been teasing this for 4 weeks. Well, it will be 4 weeks next week. I could see them releasing. I think what we're going to see is a battle box.
Yeah.
With the two characters, the two new kits,
yeah,
and maybe a couple of older kits in there, leading onto a book or something.
Okay.
Now that's just guessing, but I think that's
if we don't see a Harlequin and the next model is the last model that they're announcing for this, then maybe it'd be. We'll see that next Monday.
And then the pre-order the week after.
And then we'll have a pre-order the week after. Then we'll have a preview of the battle box and the book.
Because this is going to be a long series. I think we'd see a battle box, then a book, then a other few kits and then onto the next.
That would throw a curveball at your Harlequin, actually, because...
Well, yeah, I don't know whether we'll see
that. From the artwork, there's no Harlequins in there, so I'd probably say I don't think we're going to see a Harlequin in this release, but this is going to be a long series covering every faction, so...
Yeah.
I think every army is going to get something here.
Yeah, and I think once we see Drazar and the rest of the Banshees and the Incubi squads, as soon as we see their bases, if it doesn't match that Harlequin base, we know there's something else coming, Eldari, so...
Yeah. A Tyranid crawling over some Eldari.
Yeah, maybe. Some Necrons just trashing some Eldari ruins.
But yeah, so I don't think it'll be long till we see that. I mean, let's think about what we have seen that hasn't been revealed yet. So, I think everything Sigmar is out by the Ogre book, which, again, it's probably going to be a similar release to the Cities of Sigmar and Uruk. We know there's going to be at least one kit.
Yep.
But hopefully a few more. And another, you know, scenery piece or something. But that'd be a week's release.
Yep.
40k wise, it's really just that, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. We've got the open day coming up as well.
Well, this is it. So the next and the Lord of the Rings Rohan supplement. So
when is the open day?
End of November. So we've got
two months.
So you,
I think I almost said then maybe it's out then, but I think it'll be out way before.
Yeah.
Then.
So I think we've got a few weeks to fill. You know, if you think Ogre's going to be a week, your Necromunda stuff we know is coming.
In fact, I would put money on by the open day we'll be looking at the next
open day. Yeah, open day will be either pre-order or out that day. The Sisters of Battle.
Yeah, of course, it's Battle. Oh, we have also got the Space Marine supplements.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, after that, in October.
Yeah.
So I think all this stuff that we've talked about will be before the open day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously that's leading on to the. The Death Faction in October pre-orders.
For Halloween.
For Halloween, yeah.
Of course.
The Bone Reapers.
Bone Reapers.
So, yeah, so I think by November, we'll have seen everything that's been previewed out and then a load of new reveals at the open day, which will be exciting.
When is it ever not exciting, man? When is it ever not exciting? Is that it for news?
That is all the news that I have got.
Wow. Yeah, some really cool stuff there. So that wraps up our news segment. We're going to take a pause here and we'll be back with our future. Okay, so for our future on this week's podcast, seeing as we've got a bit of a quieter week this week, haven't we?
We have. We're kind of between releases this week, aren't we?
Yeah, next week's going to be jam-packed with all these new battle tomes and whatnot.
Yeah.
We thought this week we'd have a bit of a... A retrospective of the year in the hobby so far,
yeah.
And a little bit of a look forward to what we are hoping to do based on what we've found out in the past few weeks.
And these may all change next week when Games Workshop announces a load of awesome stuff.
Exactly, but it's always fun to find out what you guys are thinking of doing and evaluate how you think this year has gone in the hobby. So, do you want to start us off, Matt?
Yeah, so I think I've had a fairly productive year so far, hobby-wise.
You always have productive hobby
years. I've done a few armies. So I've done paint an entire Khorne force, plus Vorgrath, the Scarred.
Oh, yeah.
For, what did I do that for? The Purple Sparkly Unicorns, followed by Warhammer TV and the Throne of Skulls, where I came third.
Yeah.
So that was a cool start of the year. Since then, we started doing a Gene Stealer Court army.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it done. We probably need to go back and finish off those 40k armies. Mm. But we got distracted by all the Sigmar love, didn't we?
We did. We got heavily influenced by Sigmar, didn't we?
And then, yeah, I Eidneth Deepkin force as well. Painted a load of Rohan. Yeah, it's been a lot of paint has gone down this year.
Started your Hobbits.
Started my Hobbits, yeah, they're all painted. Built some Carried Run Overlords. Started all this Warcry stuff, picked a load of scenery.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been quite a good year so far. There's some stuff that I'd have liked to have done that I've not got round to. Finish off my Daughters of Cain, they're almost done, they just need a few bits touching up.
Mm-hmm.
I need to finish off my Titans for Adeptus Titanicus.
Oh, yeah.
They may hold fight level on airbrush, because that might be a bit easier way to do them.
Mm.
And then, yeah, I have been building up this Warcry force... Partially to get all the warbands picked for Warcry so we can do some videos, and partially because a Slaves to Darkness army would be cool. Yeah. I think we might see a book by the end of the year as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully unlocking those various tribes as battle line would be cool.
Yeah.
In a similar move to these new books that we've got coming out.
That leads us nicely into what are you looking to do now for the rest of the year and on to next year?
Well, for the rest of the year, I'm going to be working on my Iron Ravens for the December annual Warhammer World visit that we do. And then, yeah, I want to do some Empire. I've been wanting to do some Free Guild for ages, and it's always been, as soon as this book comes out, I will do some Free Guild. And a little bit later than I'd have liked. I thought it would have been out by now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be Steam Tank heavy, but then I might do a few other units, because, like we said earlier, there's going to be a lot of ability to pick and choose what you want in your army.
Mm-hmm.
I think a piratey force with lots of charybdises and stuff would be cool. All the kind of dark elf kits.
Yeah.
Would be awesome.
Some really nice dark elf kits. I like executioners, I like corsairs. At the moment, the rules are, well, at least of corsairs anyway, absolutely shocking. Mm. But hopefully they'll be revised in the book.
I think the rules are going to be competitive again now. Yeah,
I think all the war scrolls are going to get redone, which is cool. And then, really, into the next year, I'm going to do a Bone Reaper's army.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think play with an airbrush and see what I can do with them.
Cool.
For 40k, obviously, it's going to be the Sisters of Battle, like me and everybody else listening. We'll be doing an army of them, I'm sure.
Ace.
I'd also like to get some Aeronautical on the go as well, because I've seen a lot of painted ones on Twitter and they look amazing.
Yeah, I've seen some cool conversions of people put like LED lights in the cockpits and things like that.
I've been looking at Dan's GW crew, his Aeronautica, because he went all in on orcs and looked really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Jay, how do you think this year's gone for the hobby so far?
I think I've actually got a lot painted this year. It's been a good year. I'm just trying to think like how we started off. So we started off with the Black Legion and the Moonclan Grots at the beginning of the year. So I didn't finish any of those armies, but I got a good bulk of them painted.
Especially Moonclan.
The Moonclan, yeah. I got a lot of Moonclan painted. I've Adeptus Titanicus. I remember I had a couple of weeks where I couldn't put those models down. So I got a couple of Titans painted for Adeptus Titanicus. Completely finished. They were good. But obviously I haven't finished the Force. This is like a theme. I worked on the Ultramarines over the year, so
I've dipped in and out.
I have, yeah. Sometimes when I've just been feeling the Ultramarines, I got a lot of painted and then I put them back down again. But so they're like a slow burner project. But the good thing about the Ultramarines is the colour scheme I use on those, it's a very straightforward colour scheme, so it's easy to put down and pick up in 6-7 months' time. You can just whack out the portal.
Well, you keep proving that every time you pick up an Intercessor.
Quite consistent. I believe I finished off some Custodians this year. Added some Terminators. And some bikes, the Terminators and the bikes.
You haven't painted the Wind guys yet, have you?
The Venatari Guard, no. Added some Dwarfs, Dispossessed for Throne of Skulls. Got 1,000 points of Dwarfs painted. 1,000 points of Seraphon for the Contrast Challenge in a week.
That was impressive.
That's the fastest I've ever painted an army. And I was quite happy with the quality of those models as well. So when the Seraphon book comes out, they'll be getting an extra 1,000 points. I think that's it. I've probably painted about 40% of my Blood Bowl team. Not quite finished them.
So what are your plans then for the rest of the year? Well, finish off some of them armies, or
for the rest of the year. So, I've still not 100% on what I'm actually taking at the end of the year. So, the focus for the rest of the year for me is 40k, and it's getting a 40k army paint.
Now, last week, you were all in on Sisters of Battle.
Yeah, and I'm still, I'd say I'm 80% leaning in on Sisters of Battle until I picked up Dark Imperium 2, and I'm really liking Ultramarines again. Although I think I will leave the Ultramarines at home this year with the Iron Ravens turning up. I think with us, there's only going to be about 7 or 8 of us there. It'd be nice to have a mixture of armies. So I think I will leave the Ultramarines and let Matt bring the Primaris.
I suppose they're different Primaris armies, though, aren't they?
They are, yeah. And who knows, but I think it'll be good to have some varied armies on the table. I don't want to take Custodians again. So, I mean, I'm thinking Sisters of Battle. So I still think I could probably get the Sisters of Battle, maybe with some Custodian allies, perhaps, if I can't quite get 2,000 points paid up. The other thing I was thinking, especially with Jane Zara and the Howling Banshees coming out, was adding 1,000... Well, probably I probably got about 1,500 points of Eldar painted, just painting another 500 points of Eldar.
I think it's a good time to get back into Eldar with the new stuff and presumably new profiles.
And I know you've been toying with Yunari as a potential detachment.
Yeah, well, I've got the avatar of Yunid, or whatever her name is, the Incarn. Yeah, so potentially Eldar. So it's going to be a 40k flavoured end of the year. Not quite sure which 40k faction to do.
That's good. How about next year? Have you got any kind of
horizon,
any plans?
Yeah, so, that is when I will be picking up the Free Cities book actually this year, and I do plan to get another 1,000 points of dwarfs painted as well for the Purple Sparkle Unicorns. Is it November, that one?
January. In November, they've got 40k.
That's right, yeah, it's for January. So my aim is to get 1,000 points of dwarfs painted again for the January event. Luckily, dwarfs are quite easy to paint because they're all just metal and they're half the size of every other model, so they're quite easy to paint the dwarfs up. But going into New Year, I am quite excited about starting a new Age of Sigmar army. You know, I'd love to do a Kanoffi army, and I'm looking forward to picking up the Kanoffi warband and getting them painted up in the new year, but I don't know how long we're going to be waiting for Kanoffi to come out as a full-fledged faction. I also really want to do those Shadow Elves, but again, when are they going to come out?
Well, they were in Silver Tower, which is, what, 3 years old now?
Yeah, so, you know, I know...
Though, we've got news of Malarian, so it is on the card, but I think... They want to do all these factions, it's just a matter of when, isn't it?
Yeah, so, and I can't wait that long. January will be
you were toying with ogres at one point.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is it. Depending on what we decide to do, if Matt's doing death, I don't know if you're in the look for a different army. We'll find out soon enough, I guess.
Maybe some corn.
So maybe I will pick up an ogre army and get some ogres painted up. Because, I mean, the new ogre model looked fantastic, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Yeah, and you know, I was lucky enough to see this thing in the flesh, and it's such an amazing kit.
Yeah. So perhaps that for January. I would also like to get the Black Legion done as well. I know their rules probably aren't that great compared to new primary stuff, but the models are so cool. And I've got quite a few of them over there still unpainted. So yeah, 40k till the end of the year, and dwarfs. And in January, make a decision on an Age of Sigmar army.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom. Excellent. Well, I think it's been quite a good... You know, I am the master of not completing stuff, starting stuff, not completing stuff. That has carried on this year.
So should we just finish there then?
Just finish there. The biggest thing I'm proud of are my slash shove indicators.
They look really good.
And what's also good about them, my award-winning slash shove indicators.
Yeah.
Award-winning. They are award-winning.
They are award-winning. They got the wooden spoon. So I've really enjoyed painting them. And I do really want to keep adding stuff to them. I want to give them a different flavour. I want to... because they're very much, at the moment, the units that I've painted are based around the Lord Arcanum being my general.
Yeah.
I want to try and move away from having Lord Arcanum as my general, so what I need to do is I need to get some more Liberators painted.
Ah, of course you can't
to
use...
To open up different options. Or, as we were discussing, Matt, with the Cities of Sigmar book coming out, suddenly, I've got even more options.
Yeah, well, we'll be having a quick chat before we record this section, and I think Demigryphs as battle line in Cities of Sigmar, plus your mounted Stormcast, have your general on a griffin leading your army. That's pretty much a, you know, Bretonian-style army in Sigmar.
Yeah, so that's a very, very big tempting prospect. With the Tempest Eye City, I think that could be a goer.
For this year, for the rest of the year. Or for next year?
If we're talking about... I mean, what else have I done this year, first of all? I started doing Eldar. I got, I think, just over 1,000 points of Eldar done for Ulfway. I'm not sure if I want to go back to my Eldar.
Okay.
I haven't really decided. I may not... I'm not sure. I kind of had my heart set on Yunari, and then when the index came out, I was a bit disappointed. And I don't know if I fit their playstyle, so I'm not sure. I did enjoy painting them. I have got more Guardians to paint, and I've got a Wave Serpent to paint, and a Spirit Seer, but I don't know if that's going to be a long term thing for me. I don't know if I should keep Jay as the mantle of Eldar in our gaming group.
They haven't seen the table for a long time, have they? Maybe we should do an Ulfwerk.
You had a few unlucky games as well.
They've only ever really played the Gene Stealer Cults, which was, you know, with your silly demo charges, they were crazy. So,
to be fair, I did have a pretty broken list at that point.
Yeah. So, maybe you're right. Maybe I need to have a couple of games with them, because I was really happy with how I painted my, I mean, it was a really simple scheme, but like my Farseer.
Yeah, Dire Avengers.
My Dire Avengers, I think I may have been able to do a slightly better job on, but the Wraith Guard I really liked. The Wraith Lord. Did I paint him? No, no, you're painting me, have I? The Flyer, I thought I really liked the look of the Flyer that I painted.
And you know, they're quite a finesse army, so you need a few games just to get the feel for them and where to position them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was interesting playing the Iandan army at the Purple Sparkle Unicorn event the other day, because they are such a fast army with being able to run and still shoot their assault weapons.
Yeah.
You know, they're really cool. And obviously a lot of psychic powers. What else have I done this year? Well, part of the Contrast Challenge, I did my Iron Jaws. Now, with this new book, not going to lie, really want to get them up to 2,000 points at least. Whether or not that's fully Iron Jaws or maybe with Bone Splitters, I think I'll wait until the book comes and decide. I do really want... I played Khorne Armies quite a lot this year, and I really want a Khorne Army. But then also at the same time, I've always had a thing for Skaven.
You keep coming back to these Skaven.
Looking forward, I think for the rest of this year, I'm going to be doing my Ad Mech ready for Warhammer World, because I've loved to use my Ad Mech. Like, I've got a whole new fond love for them. Yeah. And at the same time also, it's helping me build a bit of an Imperial Knight Force, which is another army I've always fancied. And it's kind of doing the two at the same time.
Yeah.
So the rest of my year for 40k is going to be Adeptus Mechanicus and Imperial Knights. For Age of Sigmar, I've got a few little additions I want to make for my Stormcast army for Warhammer TV to make them more competitive. Mm. And I'm also going to add Gotrek to that mix as well. And then I think it's going to be Iron Jaws for the rest of the year. A couple of more crushes, another Star Collecting box at least. Going into next year, for Age of Sigmar, I think it's going to be between Khorne and Skaven. And the more I think about it, I've kind of forgotten his name, who I was like, because of you, I'm doing a Khorne army. This is, you know, I'm really all in on Khorne.
Oh, the guy with the Khorne.
Yeah, I feel like I'll be a bit of a traitor for him if I don't build a Khorne army now. But
I think you'd enjoy a Khorne army.
I think I would enjoy a Khorne army, but I think I would also enjoy a Skaven army as well.
Wait till Skaven get a book. Do Skaven when they get
Skaven
the book.
Skaven have got a book.
Skaven had a book.
They've just had a book.
I know, I'm going to be getting a new book for a long time.
Yeah, maybe don't wait for Skaven to get a book then.
They also both have terrain features, which is something I've always wanted in Age of Sigmar army. is my own terrain feature. So yeah, I think Age of Sigmar going into the new year is going to either be Khorne or Skaven. For 40k, I keep thinking about Sister Battle. But I don't think they're for me.
Okay.
I don't think Sister Battle are for me. I think for 40k, I might be tempted by Dark Angels finally.
Yes.
I think it could be Dark Angels. They're due a book.
They are due a book.
So I think it could be Dark Angels.
And I think this could be where we see Primaris bikes, jet bikes, that kind of stuff as well.
I think as soon as I see Primaris jet bikes and Primaris equivalent Terminators, I'm going to be like, with robes? Yes, let's have some of that. So, I think going into next year, it'll be Dark Angels for 40k, and I have a Khorne or Skaven for Age of Sigmar. Other stuff, I would like to finally settle on a Blood Bowl team.
Okay.
I think it might be Lizard Men.
They're due soon as well.
Yeah, they're due soon. I've been playing a lot with the Dwarfs. But I think you can always tell if they're for you by picking them up and just enjoying painting them.
Yeah.
And I'm not feeling that. And when we play, I'm not forcing myself to play Dwarfs, but I don't think I'm fully committed to them. I don't think I've found my Blood Bowl team yet. And I think I'll know when I found my Blood Bowl team.
You'll know when you find them.
I didn't enjoy playing with humans. Orcs, I don't really appeal. Dwarfs are the closest at the moment. I'd like to see what lizard men are like. And I really like the models that are coming out for those. They've got to be pretty soon as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they'll be soon.
So, I think I'll pick those up and give those a game. Lord of the Rings, I also... I'd like to do a Army of the Dead.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been watching a lot of Lord of the Rings and Hobbit films recently, so... I have got an itch there to do King of the Dead, Army of the Dead, the Free Hunters. Tread on your toes a little bit, Jay, because I know you were quite tempted by the Free Hunters.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we do a Lord of the Rings thing, I'll be doing the Wood Elves at Helm's Deep. But, you know, it doesn't matter. You do Free Hunters if you want to do Free Hunters.
And Uruk-hai for Evil.
Yeah.
Because I feel with Lord of the Rings, you really need to do an Evil.
Well, that used to be the old rules, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm probably going to expand my Rohan, and I might do some more Hobbits. Hobbits are hard to do in a proper size game, because you need so many other things.
Yeah.
I think
Rohan
would be a proper army. Yeah. And then for Evil, I've got a load of Mordor, I've got a Sauron. On got a load of Mordor orcs. We're probably doing Mordor force.
Yeah.
Well, there's the is it the Last Alliance box or campaign that's rumoured, isn't it? Or coming?
Rumoured, yeah.
Rumoured, yeah. So you'd get your Mordor orcs in that as well, and a new Sauron potentially.
Cool.
I think the old no. Just in case. So yeah, I think that's what is on my. Painting list, my hobby list.
Awesome.
I've not yet got into Adeptus Titanicus like you guys. I think for me, I think I'd rather concentrate on what I've just mentioned before I start delving into Adeptus Titanicus. And something else, actually, is I played around with a lot of different warbands for Warhammer Underworlds, but I've not really settled on one of those yet.
Yeah.
And obviously we're coming into a new season now, so it'll be interesting to see who gets revealed for those.
Yeah, well, I mean, from the starter box, I'll probably play with the Beastmen, because I know you're going to go Kernothi.
Yep.
But if there's an Ogre clan, that'd be cool.
Mm.
There's the Daughters of Cain.
There's the Undead, like the Bretonian-looking Undead Warband as well.
The Fleshy Ears.
Yeah, have you seen that? Is it like have you seen the artwork for him?
No.
You've not seen that?
No, the
crypt something or other.
They'll be the Fleshier Courts.
Yeah, Fleshier Courts, but they've got like, they're like a Bretonian.
Well, they think they're the Knight's Quester, aren't they?
Yeah.
Going out to slay these vile beasts in the Beast Grave, but they're the vile beasts.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be quite cool. So, there are also rumours of Bone Splitters.
Yeah.
Coming to Beast Grave, because, well, that's what they do. They hunt beasts.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, I think there's quite a bit to be getting on there.
Awesome.
But yeah, I think all three of us this year have had I would have liked to have completed more projects than I have done, but at least I got my Slash of Vindicators fully done, and you know,
I think we've all done well.
Yeah, and you've got a couple of lists for the different systems there, you know, to play with, which is good. Like so that's always good.
I think more games of Warhammer as well than we ever have, right?
Yeah, we have, and we've entered more tournaments than we've ever done before.
Yeah.
And a lot of this is driven by you guys as well, like the community getting involved, you know, the podcast becoming a regular thing, the website doing so well.
Yeah.
So a big thank you to you guys, really, as
got
well.
Got hobby juices flowing.
Yeah, definitely.
We're only 3/4 of the way through the year as well. There's still another 25% of the year left.
Yeah.
Do another 2 armies in that time.
That's it, yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah. That was a nice little bit of
a look back and look
a bit, look forward. So, you know, what I want to be fighting in the next few months.
Yeah.
Potentially. Cool. Right. At that stage, I think we'll have a bit more of a sip of our brews, which Jay has just kindly provided, or at the beginning of that segment he has anyway. Hopefully not too cold. And we shall move on to our top three next. This week's top three is focusing on slightly older school Games Workshop models, which are still in production and still available to buy right now. Because obviously, just recently, a lot of stuff has been going off the store because either they're being replaced or they're just being lost, being taken out of codexes or battle tomes. But there is still quite a few classic models that are still available to purchase. They're still in books. They're still usable in tournaments and competitive games.
Yeah. And they still look good today.
And they still look really good today. Maybe we'd like to see some of these redone in plastic or whatever. We'll see. So, Matt, do you want to start us off with your third choice?
Yeah, well, my number three choice is Dale will approve of this one, because it's a Phoenix Lord and it's Maugen Ra.
Oh, yeah. This was the first Phoenix Lord I ever bought.
Such a good model. I mean, it still stands up today, doesn't it? It's a really nice model.
He's some of the tiny.
He is tiny, but he looks cool. Some of the other ones have dated a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it looks really cool.
A Dark Reaper Phoenix Lord with
his skull helmet and his scythe. And you know what? I'd I'd like to see a new plastic one because that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But this model, I think it comes back from like second edition.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it in the, you know, the starter box in the kind of, I think it was just called Codex Imperialis, and it had artwork with all the different miniatures and just caught my eye. I mean, it obviously had a Goblin Green base at the time, but it still looks really, really cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, I bought him when he was on his old Goblin Green base. I think it was in the Eye of Terror campaign expansion they released for 40k, where they had the Ultra Strike Force army list. I think they had like Acadian army list in there.
Yeah, they had the Lost in the Damned, the Chaos.
Yeah, it was a Fenris, wasn't it? The Space Wars with the werewolf models came out, and Morgan Ra featured heavily in that campaign, and they gave him a fresh look of paint. So he had a new heavy metal paint job on him. He looked even better.
Yeah,
yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, it's just one that I look at the model and go, yeah, that reminds me of when I got into the hobby.
Yeah, he's a cool model.
My third choice was split between... I have a feeling that the Eldar is going to feature quite heavily in this top three. But I was split between two aspects. And I've gone for... I'll have the other one as an honourable mention later on in the podcast, unless anybody mentions them. I haven't picked up a box of these yet, but I really like the Eldar Rangers.
I like the Rangers.
The metal ones. Yeah, they're nice models.
I think
models.
They're really cool models. I really like the cloaks, the rifles.
These, I've got a unit of 10 metal ones, including they did a made-to-order kneeling down Eldari Ranger. I've got one of him as well, because they're fine cast now. These are not that old. They must be 5th or 6th edition, I think, because... The when we first got into the game during 3rd edition, I had the 3rd edition Eldar book, they had the old Metal Rangers, and they were shockingly bad.
I can't remember what they looked like.
They looked a bit thinner. They were like the Rogue Trader type.
The guns more Rogue Trader style.
Yeah,
nothing was
it.
Quite consistent between all the armies.
Right.
And I think they were still finding the kind of like the look of each army, weren't they?
Yeah. But you're right, the Eldari Rangers, they compare very well to even the Eliminators nowadays with the cloaks and
they're very
the
dynamic for because traditionally metal models can't be as dynamic because you've got a two-part mold where obviously with a plastic kit you can do more undercuts and stuff, can't
they look more unique. When you look at some of the other Aspect units, they all look like they're in the same pose.
Rangers aren't Aspect Warriors.
Oh, true, actually, they're not. I was wrong there. But yeah, I think they're a really strong kit, and if I do press on with my Eldar, I would most certainly like to add a small unit of these guys.
And you've also got the Eldar Ranger from Blackstone Fortress.
Yes.
Who you can use as a sergeant. In fact, she has her own rules, doesn't she?
She does.
Yeah, she's an elite choice.
Snipers are really good in 40k.
Yeah. Cool. Your third choice, Jay.
Well, my third choice, and I'm staying with the Eldar as well. I think Eldar will feature quite heavily in this because...
They've probably got the oldest range at the
minute. That's it, yeah.
And they're all like Jez Goodwin classics, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they're just timeless. But this was... I don't actually know when this model came out. Now, it was one of the first Eldar models I bought because it was in the battle box. It's the Eldar Falcon Grav Tank.
Nice.
The Eldar Skimmers, I remember at the time when we first got into the hobby, I thought these were the best looking vehicles ever, and I remember having a heated debate, it could have been with yourself or with Craig, about whether the Eldar Grav Tank was the nicest looking vehicle in Warhammer 40k or the Tau Devilfish was the nicest looking. I was like, not the Tau Devilfish, the Eldar Grav Tank looks so sleek, so fast, so high tech, so alien. Really cool.
Yeah, you're right, that might be me because I really like the Devilfish.
Yeah,
you know, it's slightly off topic, but you know what upset me? In Epic, the Wave Serpent was a different chassis, it was longer and more graceful. Unfortunately, it just became an upgrade kit for 40k because at the time, obviously, it was easy to do an upgrade sprue rather than make an entirely new chassis for it.
I believe it was a Forge World upgrade pack to
begin
with.
They did first, yeah.
And then they released the extended little bit at the back you put onto the Falcon to make it bigger and the fins.
But I always like to see it was more like what was the big super heavy like?
The Scorpion.
With a longer kind of body. Yeah.
I would love to see a Falcon Grav tank back in your list because growing up, Jay...
I know.
Whenever I thought about Jay and Warhammer, I thought about a Falcon with fire dragons in it.
Yeah.
That was... If Jay had a game, it was like, right, I'm in this right in time. Falcon, Grav Tank, fire dragons. Right. Now let's build the rest of the list. They were like the staple part of Jay's army.
The fire. I've actually got a unit of fire dragons with the fire dragon exarch, and I have a Falcon Grav tank unpainted. And the fire dragons, they're actually, out of all the aspect models that are out there, the fire dragons are actually, I think, the best ones. Notwithstanding the new Howling Banshees we're going to see, but I think they're the best looking sculpts. So maybe for Christmas, I would
love to see Jay return into the Falcon Grav tank and fire dragon combo.
You know what? You mentioned the Falcon Grav tank. In my mind, I picture the Beortan one with the thorns on the. Yeah. That just. I think that was the box art at the time,
yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
it?
Well, yeah, sure. It was. Classic theme. We'll do this back in reverse order now, I think.
Okay. Reverse the polarity.
So, my second choice is from Age of Sigmar now, but this model was released back for Warhammer Fantasy, and that is the Slann.
Ooh, good choice.
I really, really like this Slann model. If I'd have... Oh, it's on Jesus.
That's big for the one now.
I think this is a really, really nice model. If I ever did a Seraphon army, which I've toyed with in the past, it would be led by a Slann.
Okay.
Because I just think he's an amazing model.
I have to... Slann was my second choice. I've got the Metal Slann model. It is a paperweight. It is solid. But it looks so good.
Well, he's available in Fancast though as well, isn't he?
He is, yeah. But you want the metal palanquin with the metal.
I've been worried about him snapping off the base.
I love metal models. They're so much better than Fancast models.
What about... So I'm going to be controversial, and I'm going to say I prefer Croak than the vanilla Slann.
Oh, yeah. Croak's fantastic.
I prefer the vanilla.
I like them both. Yeah, I like them both. I think Croak's really good with his mask.
Yeah.
And you have the extra plaques you can make to make his palanquin a bit high. But even the palanquin, it's got like the vines, the carvings inside it, the little skinker tendon on the armrest, and the little Croak's got the mummified skin on the side of it. Yeah, really cool.
Yeah, I really like the Slann. I think he's ace, and it would be hard to see what they could do.
Oh, it definitely still stands up. I don't know how you could top it. Now, we say that, they'll release an awesome new Slann kit, but it still looks really good.
It depends what they do with the Seraphon when they come back. I noticed in the Uruk...
They're heavy featured in the artwork, aren't they?
It does, yeah.
For the Uruks.
Yeah.
Well, that, again, as we've said in the past, very often the artwork will match miniatures that they're working on.
Yeah.
Cool. Your second choice, Matt?
Well, my second choice is from Middle-earth, and it is the War Mummock of Harad. Now, at the time, this was the largest kit that Games Workshop did. It was their first... They'd made a lot of money with the Lord of the Rings stuff and invested heavily in the plastic production stuff, which we've seen, you know, pretty much replacing all the metal kits now. Even Finecast, arguably, is being phased out in favour of these big, you know, highly detailed plastic kits. And that mummock was amazing at the time. It had a sculpted base with dead horses and Rohan on it. The mummock itself... I built one recently, and you know, it's aged a little bit, and there's a lot of gaps, and it doesn't fit as nice as some of the new CAD designed ones. But I think it still looks really, really good.
At the time, I think that was one. I think it was the largest Games Workshop model.
Yeah.
And it was also the first to have, like you say, the detailed scenic base.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd seen anything like that.
He had the biggest box at the time as well, because that's, as funny as it is, that's often one of the restrictions on what kits they can put out, box size.
Yeah.
You've got to think about shelf space and, you know.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason why I haven't seen a big Thunderhawk, because realistically,
yeah,
is that one big kit as good value to have in your shop than a range of other plastic kits?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it went in one of the kind of battle boxes, didn't it?
Mm.
And it was, I think it was like £40 when it came out, so it was one of the most expensive kits. To be fair, it's still 60 now, which isn't bad considering, you know, price jumps we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
It still stands up. Forge World have refreshed this somewhat with the upgrade kit, which I think is a nice way of kind of bringing old kits up to date if they maybe haven't got the funds to retool a kit for this, because I don't think we're ever going to see that.
No.
But yeah, that's... I have always wanted to toy with a Harad army, and you've got to have some mummocks in there, haven't you?
Awesome. Yeah, that's a really good shout. Your second choice, Jay, now I've stolen it.
Was a Slann. It's no longer a Slann. My new second choice. And this is... I can't believe, looking at this model, I can't believe it is as old as it is. And it is the Space Marine Land Raider.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
But I mean, you look at the Space Marine Land Raider, and it's almost as good as the new Space Marine Executioner Repulsor.
Yeah,
it's such a nice kit. It's a different aesthetic than the Predators and the Rhino chassis. You know, it's bulky.
I'd go as far as saying I still prefer the Land Raider over the Repulsor. I've never been a massive fan of the Repulsor.
There is something about tank treads, isn't there?
The new one, now I've seen yours,
it's got a better silhouette than
yeah, mine. Has, yeah, has made me go, okay, that's actually quite a nice tank. But if I had a choice between taking a Land Raider and a Repulsor based on design, I would go for the Land Raider.
Yeah.
But of course now
you can't transport Primaris in them. So yeah.
It's an iconic tank as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Now, I always really liked the Mark One Land Raider, the original Rogue Trader. It's a bit tiny
with the
now.
Exposed tracks on the top. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, Forge were brought out the Mark IIb kit with a kind of different side sponsons that matched the old Epic model.
Yeah.
Mm. And yeah, it still stands up and had a fully detailed interior as well, didn't it?
It does, yeah. I remember they refreshed it a little bit when, I'm not sure, was it when the Blood Angels came out or Grey Knights? And one of those factions had the flamethrower version of it. The
Promethean Black one. Templars had a...
They had the Crusader.
With their flamestorm cannons.
Yeah, but the Black Templars, they had the Crusader. Cause my brother Lee had a Black Templars army with a Black Templar Crusader. Because they had the metal panels and stuff turned into that.
Didn't the Black Templars have the Hurricane Bolters for
that
the
was
first
it, yeah,
time?
The Crusader, yeah. But that was like a metal sort of like add-on pack to the Land Raider.
And they later retooled it, didn't they? And they did. Both that variant and the Flamer variant on the same spoon.
Yeah, I think that was Grey Knights. I'm sure it was Grey Knights when they got their first access to that, and that's when they combined them, yeah. But I mean, that was it. It's just a superficial upgrade for it, really. The actual core part of the Land Raider stayed the same. But I think arguably the Rhinos and the Predators still look equally as good today as they did 25 years ago when they came out.
With the sisters, we're seeing the first new Rhino for a long time.
Yeah.
Which, ironically, is a throwback to the original Rhino.
Yeah.
So I think maybe we'll see a redo of the Mark I Rhino at some Land Raider at some point.
Possibly, yeah.
I think it's less likely because of...
Like we said with the Mumak, it's not really needed to be redone.
Well, actually, it could have a place in Codex Imperial Agents.
It could too. Yeah, yeah.
Gets a shout in every podcast.
Yeah.
Ace, all right. Well, Matt, let's have your first choice.
My first choice is a classic model, which I'd love to fit in an army list, but I don't think it's maybe the most competitive anymore. But it's the Dragon Ogre Shaggoth.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Well, it's not competitive yet. But it might be soon.
Soon?
Slaves to Darkness, it may be in the
Well, it's in the Beastman book, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Yeah. Ah, right, okay.
And it's cool, but I haven't seen much in the way of fully kind of Dragon Ogre list. But yeah, it looks really, really nice. He might be a little bit small compared to some monsters now. And he was a named character, I can't remember his name now.
It was in the quiz, wasn't it?
It was in the quiz, yeah. We've still forgot it. But he was the first Dragon Ogre, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks really nice. The look is a little bit different than the plastic Dragon Ogres they've released since, and it would have been nice to get a new HQ one. But yeah. again, out of sprue budget and what they can put out. And he still, I think the thing is, he still looks good enough to not have to replace him, which is, you know, it's a good sign of a timeless kit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still metal. I imagine he's a bit of a dog to build.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother Lee's got one.
Has he?
Yeah. He had it. I can't remember which army list he used it in now. Can't remember. No. He didn't have a Chaos army. I don't know where he used it.
Maybe just bought it in. I mean, back then.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, that looks cool. I'm buying that.
Yeah, I remember my brother had a Beast of Chaos army back in a 5th edition or something. I think he always wanted one, but never got
around to it. Oh, he did use it. He used it in his Chaos army because he got chains and stuff on it, didn't he?
Yeah, in his Space Marine, Chaos Space Marine. Yeah, as a Demon Prince. Yeah, that's right.
As a Demon Prince.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
But yeah, well, again, might not be the most competitive choice, but it still looks great.
Yeah,
cool. My first choice, I've actually re-looked at it recently because of my looking at Dark Angels, and that's Samuel on the jet bike. Now, can you imagine seeing those jet bikes in plastic?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because they would look different to your Custodian jet bikes. This model is fantastic, and if I had a Ravenwing army, it would be led by this guy. I think he's in Fancast now, obviously.
Yeah.
He's got the book up.
Which, to be fair, is pretty easy to build than the heavy metal one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I would stay way clear if that was metal. I don't get on with metal models.
I would love him as a metal
model. I do not get on with a metal model. And building that in metal would end me, I think. Fancast I can deal with. So
especially on a flying stand.
Especially on a flying stand.
I don't know whether we'll see the new Primaris jet bikes in that style, because that bike is like a relic from 10,000 years ago.
Yeah, but Core could get something out of cold storage and churn them out.
Possibly. I think the new Primaris jet bikes will be more inspired by the Repulsors with the grav plates and things like that.
Like a ski kind of
thing. Yeah, that they would be cool, yeah. Maybe Samuel will get a new ride.
Possibly, yeah, he gets Primaris-sized. But his bike is cool, that model's epic, with the black sword as well. Yeah. The actual model on top, the ride is really cool for that one.
Well, it's funny you should mention about Primaris-fying, because with the Salamanders and the Iron Hands, obviously we're seeing two brand new characters instead of... So it'll be interesting with Dark Angel, because they have got lots of characters that they can make Primaris.
Azrael.
Single
sprue
really
compact.
Ezekiel.
Model.
You also got the Chaplain character.
Yeah. But in White Dwarf again, they talk about a captain becoming a Primaris, thus becoming the only the first Primaris in the Inner Circle.
Okay. Right. A new invented character,
so maybe. He's the building up some lore there for him. So maybe he'll be who we see first.
Well, it's easier to invent a new character as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of. It's been Striking and Marnus, who have been old
previous
characters. Yeah.
And so the Salamander and the...
They were new, weren't they? Right, Imperial Fist.
New guys, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, I hope when they get around to Blood Angels, though, they do Dante and Mephiston. Rather than some other characters, but yeah.
So, yeah, Samuel, I think, is still a fantastic kit. And if I do Dark Angels going into the new year, it'll be in.
Awesome.
Mint.
Your top choice, Jay?
My top choice? I'm coming back round to the Eldar. And I'm going... I've got loads of these models, loads of them. And I love every single one of them. And they're all individual, unique-looking sculpts. And I love the background for these guys. They are rubbish on the battlefield. Absolutely awful. They're a liability more than anything else. And these are the Eldar Warlocks. I love making Seer Councils. I love the idea of Seer Councils, the background of Seer Councils. The Warlocks are like warrior mystics. They have more offensive powers. They've got the dual disciplines with the two spells in the same.
Mm-hmm.
My favourite Warlock is the guy holding the sword out.
Mm-hmm.
The two-handed sword out in front of him, all the witch blades. But I also like the Warlock that's holding his sword to the side. I like the Warlock with the singing spear that he's holding up. Epic, really old models. And like I say, I must have about 15 Eldar Warlocks, metal and fine cast. They never did any new Warlock sculpts, so obviously we've had the new Farseers. So you've got the original metal Farseers, and then you've got the new plastic Farseers, you've got the new plastic Eldrad.
And the Spirit Seer.
You've got the old Spirit Seer, which wasn't very good. The new Spirit Seer, which is amazing. The Bone Singer model that they released recently. But there hasn't been a new Warlock sculpt.
I'd imagine if they did them, it'd be similar to the Exalted Sorceress for the Thousand Suns.
Actually, not quite correct. They did do a Warlock on Jet Bike. He was new.
Yeah, on the Jet Bike, yeah. Warlock on the Jet
was
Bike,
it.
Yeah.
I remember when I announced that I was doing Eldar and I was talking about what kind of Eldar list I'd build. I like mentioned Warlocks and Dave was like, don't go Warlocks. Just don't go Warlocks, Dave. Don't do it. Don't do it, Dave. Don't
they're so expensive points-wise for what they are, and they don't...
Psychic Awakening, though, you never know.
Yeah, well, this is it.
But yeah, I think like the Exalted Sorcerer for the Thousand Suns, you'd get a sprue with, you know, four or five of them on there.
Yeah, that would
be
good.
To either use them as a council or split them up for your army.
That would be brilliant. I would love to see... I mean, I'd love to see new Warlock models, but I do really like the existing Warlock models. I'd just like to see them with better rules. Then you want that chain react for your army.
Yeah. That was the demonic possession stratagem where you took more wounds than you should have done.
Deary me.
I had some honourable mentions.
Okay.
A lot of them in the Eldar range, to be fair. So, I love the Phoenix Lords, like Matt said. So, Morgan Rahr, he was one of the first Phoenix Lords I bought, but I also really like Azurman. I really like Barahoff. I think those two are great. I really like the old Jane's R model. And
yeah, that was a bit controversial this week when they announced the new plastic one. You still rated the old one above it. I disagreed. But,
yeah, well, it's subjective, isn't it?
I put a side-by-side picture and I was like, really?
The new one's mint. The new one's really, really good. But I think the old Phoenix Lords, they just have a charm to them. And I think because they've just been in my collections and in the... hobby since
there's
I
that nostalgia with them in
that's
there.
It they were, that was my first army and they were like the super characters in the first army book I ever bought, you know. Oh, I love Phoenix Lord in my army, and they're all quite unique. I mean, they have that sort of second edition charm to them, I think.
Yeah. It's like Sylvaneth. You say tree man, I picture the old metal one that was probably as big as a Kurnoth Hunter now.
Yeah,
but yeah, like you say, just something about it.
Yeah,
I mean, one of my honourable mentions, even though they all were kind of the same pose, when I was painting the ones for my Eldar army, the Dark Reapers. You know, I quite like them. I quite like their weapons.
Well,
they look really cool.
Yeah, the Dark Reapers are good. They sort of—I can't remember what edition it was now, because when we got into it in third edition, there was all the old metal aspects. So the old metal Fire Dragons, the old metal Banshees, the old metal Scorpions. The Scorpions arguably were the worst ones out of the bunch. Reapers, Swooping Hawks, and Warp Spiders, and Fire Dragons. And then they—I can't remember what it might have been, fourth or fifth edition. They redid metal aspects, so there was new Banshees, which were a bit smaller than the older Banshees. The older Banshees had the bigger mat, the bigger helmets. They did the new Reapers, which I prefer the older Reapers to the new ones, but you know, I think the helmets on the new ones were a bit weird. The new Fire Dragons, which were a big improvement on the old Fire Dragons. New Striking Scorpions, which were a big improvement on the old Striking Scorpions. But they didn't do Water Spiders or Swooping Hawks. So the Water Spiders and Swooping Hawks...
Water Spiders still stand up, though, don't they?
Now that you mention Swooping Hawks, I like some of them, but not all of them. I would love to see them in plastic.
Well, I when the Dark Eldar came out and we got the new Scourges, I was really thinking, we're going to get Swooping Hawks now. Swooping Hawks. And Water Spiders. Water Spiders are ace models, but you're basically getting one pose.
Yeah.
And your whole unit is just that one pose. And considering Water Spiders are supposed to be quite a mobile unit, and I remember one edition of the game, they were lethal. I used to take Warp Spiders all the time.
Yeah.
I hated Warp Spiders.
But they're nice models. They could do with a refresh. Warp Spiders could. I mean, they don't even have a Phoenix Lord.
No, they don't.
Yeah, it's just Exarch, isn't it?
They have the Exarch, yeah. But Swooping Hawks, I love Swooping Hawks. And Barahoth, he's great.
Barahoth still is a nice model.
He is, yeah, with his sword and his big wings.
Now, I imagine it'd be a lot more dynamic now in plastic.
Yeah.
Just one more honourable mention from me, and he's not really that old. But maybe I'm thinking he's old because he's in Finecast, is Commander Farsight.
Farsight? Did they do a more recent version?
There were two versions. I wanted the original one, he's old, and then there was a newer version.
Well, I'm thinking of the newer one, so he's not really that old. That's why he didn't come close to my top three. But because he is in Finecast, I think my mind just thought he's quite old.
He's probably due a refresh of a model, though. I mean, because the thing with the Tau is they're advancing, and I mean, although arguably the Farsight enclaves don't do that, they get like smuggled out technology, don't they?
Yeah.
So,
but that'd be cool if it was, I don't know, what's the Squat spin-off faction?
Demiurge.
You know, retrofitted technology that they've stolen with a cool custom battle suit. That'd be ace.
It would be good, with some new kind of weapon.
Yeah.
Any honourable mentions from you, Matt?
No, I think all of the main ones have been shared. Like I say, most of the existing metal Eldar range is still up there as cool kits.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to give a shout out to Heimlich Kemmler, or as he is now, Necromancer with Hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tell you what would have made this top three, without a shadow of a doubt, if they haven't got rid of him, and I'm kicking myself that I didn't buy him when he went last chance to buy, and that is another Witch Hunter.
Yeah.
From Cities of Sigmar. Because the Witch Hunter I have, somehow the top of his blade has come off. The hilt of his blade.
You can fix that with another hilt from another weapon.
Probably could. But I absolutely adore that model. And I should have bought another one. And he was sold out before I had a chance.
Lost to the sands of time now.
He's not in the book, so he could make this top three.
Well, equally, the entire Empire Forge World range is now gone. I was toying with buying some of them a while ago.
I remember we were looking in the cabinet at them at Warhammer World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you snooze, you lose, unfortunately.
Yeah. That's why I've got three Eldar Bone Singers on the screen.
Right. Brilliant stuff. So that's our top three. Our top threes, even. What about you guys? We're going to take a pause now, get all the relevant social media pages up on our data slates, and we'll go through your top threes next. Matt has once again championed the top three via social media and has got it up on all the various social media channels. And we shall start with Facebook, where we have Horde Master. His top three, starting with his third choice, are Pink Horrors.
Mm.
His second choice are Orc Boys.
And they are an old kit, aren't they? They were retooled, but they're still the original sculpts.
Yeah, yeah. And number one, sticking with the Orc theme, Orc Knobs.
Yeah, they're from the same period.
No, I think they were newer.
The Orc Knobs got when they got retooled,
the Knobs came out.
Yeah, yeah. He has also said Orcs for all the spare bits and options, Pink Horrors for the same. So, yeah, I think that's a really strong top three. Moving on onto Instagram, Juice, Eldrad Ulfwane. Okay, I know that technically the current model is a recent-ish plastic kit, but the sculpt is nigh identical to the classic metal version I had in second edition.
Yeah,
I could take that. Here's one for you, Matt. Festus the Leech Lord.
Oh, yes.
Disgustingly brilliant.
That's a nice model.
Yeah, he's a nice model. How old is he? Quite old now, isn't he?
Storm of Chaos, maybe?
Yeah. Okay. And finally, Chaos Familiars, looking slightly dated now, but still weirdly adorable.
And yeah, you can still buy them.
When I'm not in the heat of battle, I imagine them hooking up with the Nurglings and getting up to all kinds of hijinks across the realms. I, in particular, like the one that looks that reminds me of Vivi from Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
With his little wizard get-up. I looked at him to add to my Thousand Sons Chaos Familiar. And he also has put PS. Only reason I discovered your podcast, but it's already one of my favourites. Thanks for producing such a great listen every week. Thank you for listening.
Awesome, thank you very much.
Matt, you have got the lion's share over on Twitter.
Yeah, so Fabius Fulgrim tweeted us before the post was even up with his.
He is so proactive.
Yes. So Sweeping Hawks, mentioned just a minute ago. The Fire Dragons, again, from the Eldari.
Oh, yeah, very
and
good.
The Canoness from the Sisters of Battle.
The Sister Battle HQs are really good.
They are really good. They're still really good kits. And obviously, the new plastic ones have come in, but nothing wrong with those old metal kits at all. HPL said Slambo, Blood Letters, and Skeleton Warriors. Mm.
Skeleton Warriors.
Obviously, they're a newer Skeleton Warrior kit, but yeah, they've been out a fair few years now, and they still look really good.
Yeah, and they're easy to build in the graveyard as well.
Yeah, definitely. David Metcalf says the Battle Sisters squad, not for much longer.
Yeah.
Samuel, such an awesome jet bike. And Phoenix Lords, Fugan, is that the Fire Dragon one?
Fugan's the Fire Dragon one, with the big fire pike.
But he does say that he likes all the Phoenix Lords.
Yeah.
And again, doesn't think we'll have them all much longer.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is it. You can't release Jane Zarr without tackling the rest of the Phoenix Lords, can you?
Maybe they'll do one a year or something.
Possibly, yeah.
Pete Allison, Chaos Warriors have to be up there as a unit that stands to the test of time. We were mentioning this earlier. We'd expect a new kit at some point for them.
Yeah.
Ragnar Blackmane, not quite up there as he used to be, but still a solid model. And Heinrich Kemmler, demoted to Necromancer with a hat, but still a great model. Bracket number one, Lord Croak, utterly badass character whose sculpt does him total justice. Hard to see how it can be improved on.
Yeah.
Heinrich Kemmler again, the OG criminal now that it's just a generic necromancer. And Beast Lord with twin axes, the quintessential Beastman mini.
He is, though, isn't he?
He really is.
That's a really good way of summing him up. When I was looking at different Age of Sigmar armies and I looked at Beasts of Chaos, I was like, you'd have to have one of them. Yeah. One of them.
Chris Frossin, Nightbringer, God, I love that model. Actually, I need to find a second for reasons. Must be metal, though.
Oh, this is the Seatan one, isn't it? The Necron Lord, yeah.
Such a cool model.
Yeah. I've seen some really cool conversions of that guy to all sorts of different characters.
Well, it sounds like Chris wants him to convert him into something.
He is nightmare, you know, isn't he?
The reason why the mortal races in the universe fear death? Because
he's the embodiment of the Grim Reaper, isn't he?
Yeah. This was in the old lore, I think.
If we ever do a top three scary models, I think he'd be up there in mine.
That's a good one for Halloween, that.
Yeah.
And then Mike Peacock, Chaos Warriors, Guardsmen, and I was going to say Siegfold, but I can't find him on the store. He may have been in part of the Empire Call.
Is this the Magnificent?
Oh, Siegfold the Magnificent, yeah. The Slaanesh character.
Yeah.
I think all the old mortal stuff disappeared, didn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't in the Slaanesh.
But we do know that at some point mortals may get a Slaanesh book, so we might see an awesome new kit for him.
That's interesting, actually, yeah, because he came out alongside the Thousand Sun Mortal Herald character. Joe, the guy with the conjoined twin on his shoulder pad. There was also the undead Viking-looking guy.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a Khorne?
Yeah, what's her name? The
Vilrika
one with wings.
Or
Vilrika,
something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know the Thousand Sun, not the Thousand Sun, the Siege one, he's still kicking around in the Siege book, isn't he? So
Yeah,
yes. Interesting.
So, yeah, so that's all our shout outs this week.
Cool. Some really good picks there. Everybody, you know, feeling sorry for old Kremler.
I'm quite happy how popular the Eldar have been this week.
Yeah.
Eldar have been very popular, yeah.
Yeah. If you're listening, G-dubs, they need some love. They need some more love.
Yeah.
Maybe Psychic Awakening will just turn into an Eldar all-loving.
Eldar all-loving.
Yeah. For the first 6 months. Right, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Now, next week, Matt, is a brand new week, a brand new top three. What is the theme?
Well, with obviously the conversion opportunities of the Cities of Sigmar book, we want to know what your top three kits are for conversions.
Yeah,
you know, there's lots of kits with lots of conversion fodder in. So yeah, let us know what your go-to kits are for snazzing up an army.
As always, we love having you listen to us. If you are listening via iTunes, we would very much appreciate a rating on there. That would be fantastic and help us spread the good word of the Spruce and Bruce podcast. If you ever have any feedback for us, we are all ears. You can either contact us on Facebook, either drop us a comment or a message. You can tweet to us at Spruce and Bruce, or you can comment on the website spruceandbruce.com or over on Instagram. And of course, finally, we have got our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/spruce bruce. Because Matt forgot the and. So that wraps up this week. We will be back next week with a brand new podcast. We didn't mention that we'll have Beastgrave in our hands.
We will, so we'll have a bit of an in-depth look at that, I think, next week.
It's too many releases, you forget what's coming. So until then, folks, we'll speak to you all very soon.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.